What do you think, with that being said, is the biggest problem most men over, let's say, 35 face right now currently?
And I suffered the consequences of neglecting myself for the sake of everyone else around me. Don't try to do the things to get you there. Be that person, and now it becomes part of your daily life. This is who you are, right? It becomes ingrained in your person.
How should the average male think about testosterone?
Yeah. So key hormone, not just for building muscle or sex, but it's important for cognitive function. The things that you can do to boost testosterone, number one is...
So I'm here right now. I have my endocrine disruptor, plastic water bottle.
We'll talk about that.
We should.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, there's got to be a reason why, like, I don't know. There's a reason why men are feeling this early onset mental fog.
Definitely.
Test levels down.
Definitely.
The whole nine. So we're going to get into all
that
and more.
Yeah, awesome.
Big deal. I just wanted to quickly kind of hear a little bit about your story. Like,
yeah,
how'd you get into what you're doing now?
Like, yeah.
What's your story?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I knew from when I was in fourth grade, I want to be a doctor. Like, my whole life, it built up to me being a doctor, going through school, going through college, going through medical school, and then residency. That was really the focus of my entire life, was being a doctor.
Since fourth grade.
I knew it was going to be a surgeon. I didn't know what kind until I got to medical school, but I knew it was going to be a surgeon, and I chose urology, and I was doing very well, had a very busy robotic surgery practice, hustling from the clinic, seeing 50 patients a day, to the hospital, doing surgery, taking call nights and weekends, and grinding until I hit a wall. And this is about halfway through my urology career. I was a urologist for 23 years. So about halfway through, hit a wall where I wake up one day and I'm like 30 pounds overweight. Mm-hmm. And I feel like crap, and I'm exhausted, and I'm stressed out, and I have brain fog, and I can't focus. And I had to really acknowledge the fact that I was miserable. I didn't like who I was, didn't like what I was doing. I really just hit a wall.
And you were how old?
And I'm 40 at this point, 39, okay. 40. So this is back in 2012.
Okay.
So my wife convinces me to go see a doctor. And we have a kid on the way as well. So now it's a big deal for me. You know, being a dad was what it was really all about for me at this point. And so I go see a doctor myself. And it was a very vulnerable experience to suddenly be on the other end of that exchange. Mm. And it was an eye-opening moment for me, you know, to face my own mortality. Mm. The fact that everything I was doing was failing, and that, you know, here I was as the men's health expert. I was supposed to be healthy. I was supposed to look like you. I was supposed to be this badass, awesome guy. But I was so focused on my career and my patients and my practice and learning how to do robotic surgery and doing all this cutting edge medicine that I neglected myself.
Wow.
And I had to realize that I had to really make a change. But I also recognized at that point that this concierge doc who I was leaning on for direction and guidance didn't have the answers either. Because all he wanted to do was put me on a statin. That was it.
Interesting. Which is for heart rate?
Which I had high cholesterol. Pressure? So it's a cholesterol medication. When you have high cholesterol, that's really the knee-jerk answer for all doctors, really, is you just need a statin. And then he tells me to just diet and exercise. And that was it. Like, no real guidance. And I had to really recognize that I didn't have the answers either. And I was a mess. And so that got me on this quest. I was on a mission to find out, what do I need to do and how do I implement? And I know you're supposed to eat healthy and exercise, but I wasn't doing any of that, obviously, because I was so busy. How do you fit that into your life? How do you turn it around?
Yes.
Felt like crap. I didn't even want to exercise. I'm just exhausted every day. I'm not sleeping well. I was a mess. Hmm. And so I went back to school and I studied functional medicine. I studied epigenetics, which is really the science of how your lifestyle, your behavior, your environment affects the way your body works. Studied hormones and peptides and all this cutting edge science around this new burgeoning field of what's now called longevity. Okay. Mm-hmm. Call it precision medicine, call it longevity optimization, this whole world of not just treating disease, treating illness symptoms, what's your diagnosis code, and then here's the statin or the other drug to treat it, but how do I actually optimize? Mm-hmm. And so with this newfound knowledge combined with what I had already learned over the previous 30 years of training, I was able to turn my health around. And I lost a bunch of weight. I put on some muscle. Finally, for the first time in my life, I burned fat and I started feeling great.
Wow.
And I realized that that's how you're supposed to feel. I didn't even realize how far I had fallen.
You didn't know how good it felt to be healthy and fit.
Had no idea. All I knew was how to be a surgeon. And that lifestyle didn't match what I was suddenly having to do to turn things around.
Yeah. How long did that process take you? What was the...
About a year.
Okay.
Yeah, about a year.
Relatively quick.
Maybe 2 years to realize what I needed to do and then start implementing those changes. And within a few months of making the changes, I was already feeling some results.
Yes.
My full transformation, I would argue, is still ongoing, right?
Absolutely, right.
You know, how how can I be hashtag better every day?
Keeps getting better.
1% better.
There's levels to it.
That's right. Yeah.
But dude, we speak so much of the same language too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I'm just fired up because I'm getting into this again, more longevity. How do I optimize now for the long haul and
that's
the
right.
long vision in mind, not just that's burn right. bright.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many things we can talk about too, like the pitfall. I know I've worked with clients who really the whole Men's Health magazine, like get ripped in 30 days mm-hmm. type of mindset, how much that just holds us back.
Yeah.
Cause we go this really short, quick fix approach, just mm-hmm. like the healthcare, a lot of times yeah. the industry, and we just miss the problem
yeah.
and we miss the solutions right there. So, but the question I kind of had for you too, though, off the bat was like, what do you think, with that being said, is the biggest problem most men over, let's say 35 face right now currently?
Stress, poor sleep, poor lifestyle habits, lack of consistency in their daily life. And it goes back to what you were just saying, where there are these limiting beliefs, where you see these guys on the, you know, the fitness magazines and on Instagram who look amazing. And suddenly like, I can never reach that. It becomes this insurmountable, barrier that, most men just give up because they're so busy in their life, busy in their career. They're trying to make money. They're trying to grow their family. The last thing they focus on is themselves.
Mm.
And so it's all of that. It's how, you know, we need to be leaders. We need to be strong. We need to provide for our family. We need to lead our team at work. We need to be a role model in the community. We have to be a dad for our kids. Like, there's so many different roles that we have. We tend to neglect ourselves.
Yeah.
And I did that myself. I was, you know, now I'm able to really refine my business based around that because I am my own ideal client. I'm my own avatar because I went through it myself and I suffered the consequences of neglecting myself for the sake of everyone else around me.
That's a word right there. Hey, real quick, I wanted to share with you the first official sponsor for the Live Elevated podcast is no other than Built Basics. What I'm rocking with my shirt and my hat, Built has been a staple of mine to and from the gym, whether it's a tank top or a shirt or shorts or a hat or even their jackets. And right now for this podcast, you can use code ELEVATED at checkout for 20% off. It helps me and supports the podcast so we can grow this thing. So don't hesitate. If you're looking to elevate your wardrobe, get some new gym gear, or have a really great selection of basic clothes for date nights and whatnot, use code ELEVATED at checkout. You'll get 20% off. All right. With that said, thanks for watching. Let's get back to the video.
Yeah.
So how'd you make that shift? Because I think a lot of guys, we do tend to put everything we have into certain things.
Yeah.
And that can be work a lot of times.
Yeah.
It can be other things too. But
sure.
Yeah, how do you... Yeah. Like how do we understand sooner that when you're better and stronger
yeah.
and more optimized, your business is better, your family yeah. is better? Like, how do you get people to recognize that earlier?
It's a mindset shift. You know, the first thing you have to recognize is how, when you are optimized, how that impacts everything around you. It affects your ability to be a leader. It affects your ability to be a dad, to be present with your wife, to be able to grow your business. Like, people tend to think about it in terms of, let me build the business, let me make the money, and then I'll focus on myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the other way around, is when you start from that foundation, that core, everything else grows from that.
Yeah.
And it's living with intention. I talk a lot about it's about how do I, you know, just be 1% better every day? How can I slowly improve, be consistent in what mm-hmm. I'm doing? And it's those baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the book Tiny Habits by BJ Fogg.
Mm.
It's similar to Atomic Habits by James Clear. The two, yeah. both great books.
Phenomenal.
But I love BJ Fogg's book, Tiny Habits. And what he talks about is you want to make tiny baby steps
mm-hmm.
to really accomplish your goals. And that if you're trying to make this massive transformation, you're typically not gonna get there because, again, it's insurmountable. It's too much. It's overwhelming. And so instead, what can I do? How can I make it tiny? And so he gives the example, a great example in the book that I love is, he says, you have a trigger, okay? And that trigger is every time he pees, he then does 10 pushups.
Mm.
Pee 10 pushups. Wow. It's tiny. Anyone can do 10 pushups, right?
Yeah.
Most people can. If you can't do 10, do 5. The point is he's creating the habit. The habit is, I'm going to every time be consistent and do that. Now, he may then go on and do 100 pushups. Awesome, badass, but he's gonna at least do those 10
mm-hmm.
and he's creating that consistency. So that's how you can just take an anchor That's the A. And then B is the behavior that gets attached to that anchor. And then C is you have to celebrate. You have to put some emotion and congratulate yourself, celebrate your win. And that's going to establish that consistency. Now you can start
positive feedback loop.
Exactly right. You get, you know, people do things because it makes them feel good.
Right.
You don't do things because it, you know, you don't want to feel bad. You do things because it makes you feel good. And that is that positive reward. So it's ABC, it's the anchor, it's the behavior, it's the celebration. And you create tiny little habits in your life. So I love that book for guys who are like, how do I just get started?
And I'm so confused. Habits. There's so many information, so much information on
there. It's overwhelming. Yeah, just tiny. Do one little thing. Yeah, or, you know, just decide for today, I'm going to drink a gallon of water a day. Just one thing. Mm-hmm. And the way you do that is, you know, you buy yourself a stainless steel water bottle. Mm-hmm. And all I know is I have to drink two of these and I have a gallon of water every day. It's little steps like that you could take that can become the foundation.
100%. I love that. So it reminds me too, like there's a lot of talk of, I forget who said it, but actually I know who said it. Kanye West actually said, you aim for the stars, you aim for the moon, you're going to find yourself amongst the stars or something to that effect. Now I love the idea of shooting for the stars. I love the idea of going next level. But the problem is sometimes that gives you this subtle out as a person,
yep.
Because, oh, that's impossible.
Right.
So it's almost like the lowest place you can aim is the moon. Mm-hmm. The highest place is like, what's the next 10 best steps? How can I get here to there in the best way possible?
Yep.
So tiny steps, or tiny habits.
Habits is a great book. Yep.
And then if you haven't, for those listening, The Atomic Habits is a no-brainer. Are there any other people or books or podcasts you're consuming to make you a better man?
Ben Hardy. I have a man crush on Ben Hardy. I met him through several groups that I'm in as well. So I've even told him this, and he's going to write the foreword for my next book, which is super exciting.
Love that.
Ben Hardy, he's an organizational psychologist, and he has a couple books that I really love. One is 10X is Easier Than 2X.
Just started reading that?
Yeah, love it.
Life changing.
Love it.
Have you read that?
Love it. Yeah.
Crazy.
Awesome.
That's
great book.
We can talk about that, but that's crazy.
Yeah. The concept there is really just simply that instead of incremental change, how can you completely change the paradigm, change your entire approach and try to 10X, change the whole model instead of trying to incrementally, you know, improve.
Instead of trying to do more to get more, like do more incremental value to get more incremental value, become somebody else.
That's right.
Set a goal to where you have to become a different type of person.
That's right.
To then make the 80% of what takes up your time out of the window and just do the 20% that you're best at 80% of the time.
Absolutely.
Love that.
Yeah, he talks a lot about the 80-20 thing where you do 80% of your activities that don't contribute to your ultimate goals, the 20% that makes all the difference. And he talks about, you know, in the new book, Science of Scaling, he talks about raising your floor. It's basically getting rid of that 80%, focusing on just the 20%.
Yeah.
So love that concept.
Well, way so better explained than me.
So powerful. It's awesome. And then he also talks about your future self, which is what you were just saying. So like, let's say I want to be a CEO of a big health company, for example. I want to take, you know, my mission, helping optimize men's health and performance and longevity and scale that through other doctors.
Yes.
Okay. That's ultimately my goal. I focus on what is that leader, that CEO of that massive company, what does he do? What does he think? How does he act? How does he breathe? What is his daily schedule like? And I be that person.
Mm.
And so any man who has these goals, don't try to do the things to get you there. Be that person. And now it becomes part of your daily life. It's just who you are, right? It becomes ingrained in your person.
Yeah. So good. Have. It's amazing. I do think about that all the time, the concept, what we just plugged in before, the resources. I love that. Ben Hardy, I'm going to look him up more and read more. But again, just incremental steps forward, 1% better. The smallest step in the right direction is progress.
That's right.
And so if you don't have motivation, what's the way to create motivation? Action, movement.
Yep.
You know, more creates, or like creates like.
That's right.
And so I tell people all the time, whether it be my clients or my coaching program, Team Vitality, or friends, you have to start talking to yourself, looking at yourself, and viewing yourself as an athlete.
Mm.
You're not trying to become an athlete. You're an athlete, and you got to get back to your best version of that.
And as an athlete act, how do they behave?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's really good, man. What do you think the healthcare? Okay, so I spent 4 years in pharmaceutical sales. I got to see a little bit behind the scenes.
Yeah, you saw
of family practice doctors, and there's a lot of phenomenal, fantastic doctors out there.
Yeah.
And just like with any industry, there's some that you would never send your mother to.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that. Yeah. So what do you think is some serious issues within the healthcare industry? And then maybe the follow-up would be, you have a very unique approach. What do you do different?
Yeah. So it's failing. You know, chronic disease is at an all-time high. It's getting worse. Chronic disease meaning, you know, it's diabetes, it's heart disease, it's obesity, it's metabolic issues, it's cancers, it's autoimmune disease.
An avalanche of stuff.
Incredible, yeah. And most of it is our own doing. It's the food that we're eating. Mm. It's our high-stress environment, you know, sedentary lifestyle, the toxins, the plastics, and the chemicals, the endocrine disruptors that we call them, a fancy word for the toxins and chemicals in our water, food, and personal care products that we know is crushing our health as well. Mm. Our healthcare system is really based around treating disease, right? So we have what most people probably don't know is we have diagnosis codes, ICD-10 diagnosis codes. And based on that diagnosis code, we will then have the ability to have a procedural code, an E&M, or either a visit charge or a procedural code to get paid by insurance companies. Mm-hmm. And so Medicare and United and Blue Cross and Aetna, these you know large insurance companies, they control the entire healthcare reimbursement system, and that's tied to big pharma as well. And so what happens is doctors are trained at a very early age in our training, like back in our medical school training, mm-hmm. find the diagnosis code and, oh, here's the drug to treat it. Mm-hmm. It becomes diagnosis, drug, that's it.
Yeah.
And we become very focused, laser focused on finding the diagnosis to then treat it and move on. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And I would, no lie, I'm embarrassed to say this, but back in my urology practice, I see 50 patients a day at times. I would have 6 minutes per patient. It's like a 10-minute slot. And with the administrative stuff, that you know, the nurses seeing them on the front end and then check out stuff on the back end, I had 6 minutes.
Yeah.
What can I possibly accomplish in 6 minutes toward anything other than find the diagnosis, refilling your medication, your pharmaceutical, prescribing a new drug, or maybe scheduling surgery? That's it. There's no focus on nutrition, on sleep, on stress management, on fitness, on environment, on community, on any of that stuff. Mm. Is find the diagnosis and typically here's the drug. And that's why we're where we are now. And doctors are catching on. They're frustrated. Patients are frustrated. Chronic disease at all-time high. And it's just getting worse because that's what we're wrapped up in. And it's really controlled by insurance companies and big pharma.
A systematic issue, it seems like. Like
it
from
is.
The top down, it's just the system we're playing in.
It is.
That's the issue. Yeah. Guys like you have pursued excellence, got really good at your craft, and you took a risk and said, I'm going to do my own thing. So
right.
What do you do differently based on that system of reaction? Mm-hmm. Here's the problem, surface level issue that could create three more. Yeah. What does Dr. Tracy do differently?
Yeah, I took myself as the example. You know, when I was a mess back when I was 40, when I was obese and stressed out and tired and didn't like who I was, I focused on how would I treat myself? And that is being very proactive. It's focusing on lifestyle interventions. It's focusing on finding your blind spots. Mm-hmm. So men especially, but all of us, we are great at compensation. We are masters at adaptation.
Mm.
Okay. Masters at adaptation where we think we're fine. I'm good. I'm fine. Yeah, I got legs and pains. I'm a little tired. Can't think of stuff, but I'm okay. I'm
my
good.
My two-thirds, I'm not going to go to the dentist.
Yeah, right? It's like we're in a general state of denial that there's any problems.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we go through our life thinking we're fine until maybe you hit that moment like I did when I was, you know, I talk about my paper gown moment where I was sitting in that doctor's office wearing that thin little paper gown, you know, with nothing underneath.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you'll hit that moment that you wake up and realize, or maybe you won't, but we're all going through life thinking that we're okay when we're really not. Mm. And so I talk about finding your blind spots early and being proactive and taking a preventative approach to optimizing and not relying on pharmaceuticals. Like we very rarely, when we work with clients, when my team works with clients, we very rarely, if ever, use pharmaceuticals. Most of it is the lifestyle, it's targeted supplementation, it's cleaning up the gut, fixing your sleep, fixing hormones. We definitely need to optimize hormones, and we definitely need to focus on finding what are the key markers that you need. Maybe you need some micronutrient support, maybe we need to clear inflammation, fix blood sugar control, you know, mm-hmm. through targeted measures, dietary. But that's where we're very different than traditional medicine.
Yeah, in the best way.
In the best way.
I've even seen some of that. So firsthand experience, I've gone through some of your process, half of it, just getting acclimated getting my baseline with blood panels. I mean, the process is in depth.
Yeah.
You see patients locally and all over the world virtually. Yeah. So I'm excited to grow with you and together just to get more guys optimized and healthy. And one of the quotes from your book, I believe, you talk about many men mistake not being sick with actually being healthy.
Right.
And so they neglect proactive wellness until the disease sets in and gets so bad they have to make a change.
That's right.
So I love that. When you're thinking about the average typical male, 35, 40 years old, who is just groggy, tired, mental fog, what are like one or two levers that you would pull to really help that right away?
Yep. Yeah. I look at kind of three main categories that I think really move the needle the quickest. One is hormones, fixing hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And we dive deep into testosterone, thyroid, DHEA, growth hormone, nitric oxide. Two is inflammation, which typically comes from the gut. So cleaning up gut health. And then the third is system overload. And I don't necessarily call it stress because people think psychological stress. Oh, I'm not stressed. That's not me. It affects everyone but me.
Mm.
It's your system is stressed. And that may be from blood sugar issues. It may be from poor sleep.
Your kids.
Yeah. Not getting enough sleep where, you know, work-life balance sort of thing. It may actually be from alcohol or overtraining.
Mm.
I've had several athletes who are overtraining. They're overstressing their body and they're actually making things worse. And sometimes you get to the point where you actually can't burn fat, can't build muscle. And, you know, blood sugar's off, triggering vascular disease purely because you're over-stimulating and stressing yourself. You need that recovery. You know, as an athlete, that you recover, you build muscle while you're sleeping, while you're repairing and recovering, not while you're lifting weights. And correct. The guys will sometimes be crushing it too hard.
Yeah, which is you almost feel like it contradicts itself. Like it's a good thing. So if I do more of a good thing, it should always be a good thing. But right. You know, like training is a great example of that. If you're right. just training nonstop, you're just tearing down the muscle fibers.
Yep.
You're not letting them recover. You're going to be out of whack. It's the whole yin yang or inhale, exhale, like the halves of life. You need to move, but you also got to sit. You got to recover. Right. You got to find the balance between those.
Balance. Right.
Are there a few habits, like specific habits that you would look at?
Yep.
And you're saying these are underrated for health in general.
Definitely. Yeah. And that immediately triggers the concept around sleep.
Uh-huh.
So one of the things that I emphasize is sleep is the most important 8 hours, 7 hours of your day. And that's where you repair. That's where you recover. That's where, you know, memory consolidation, that's where muscle build, that's where hormone production, that's where, you know, detoxification and all these things happen. Such an important part of our day, but yeah, we neglect it and we stay up late. Busy, either we're binging on Netflix or we are working or we're on scrolling on social media. Knowing you have to get up at 5 and it's 12:30 and you're still screwing around.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm not the only one sometimes.
It's a bad habit, but it's just a matter of, again, living with intention, being very, purpose driven where, you know, let's say I got to get up at 6.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I have to be asleep by 11. I need 7 hours minimum.
Yep.
Okay, we can talk about quality sleep, tracking it with wearables. But for now, let's look at 11 to 6. So that means you got to be in bed by 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
So working backwards, that means from 8:30 on, no food or drink. So any kind of food can potentially be a stimulant, especially no caffeine in the evening. But for 2 hours before you go to bed, nothing to eat or drink. If you need like a sip for some supplements or pills, that's okay. But otherwise, nothing to eat or drink.
Mm-hmm.
And then focus on things that you can do to get your mind and your body ready for sleep. Reading a book, like an actual paper book, not a Kindle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I typically recommend something that's not based on your work.
Yeah.
It has to be something that's either fiction or something that's entertaining to you, but not focused on your line of work. Second is great time to journal, right? Document. Gratitude is such a big deal. I know you're big on this as well. Being grateful for what you have, gratitude toward everything you have in your life. And you could also, focus on what you want to accomplish tomorrow and your short and long-term goals. Third is meditating. Great time in those last 2 hours before bed to meditate and mindfulness practices, breathing exercises. I used to think we're all nonsense, BS, that I'm a scientist, I'm a surgeon. That stuff doesn't, but there's real science behind it.
Yeah.
It actually changes the way your genes express themselves. And so I'm a big believer in meditation. If you've never done it, you can use like an app. If you need to use a guided Headspace or Calm or one of those apps, a Brain Tap is really awesome as well. I love that.
That's
device.
An app, Brain Tap.
It's actually a device that has an app attached, associated with it as well.
Interesting.
So if you need help, if you've never meditated before, great ways to kind of get you going.
Yeah.
Fourth is, this is a great time to do sauna. Sauna in the last 2 hours, not cold plunge, definitely not cold plunge before right. bed, but sauna's great. And then sex, great time to be intimate with your partner. Nothing kind of prepares your body for sleep like sex.
Mm-hmm.
So no blue light, no phones, laptops, computers for those 2 hours. Those are the things that I'd focus on. That's kind of a simple habit that you can instill in your life. Just work backwards from, when do I got to wake up? 7.5 hours before that, everything stops, I'm in bed. And then those 2 hours before that, those five activities.
Love that, yep. man. Yeah, that just reminds me of the last part too, is a practice that I got into that's really changed and improved my sleep quality
yeah.
and quality of life as a result, is having just this, I hate to say rule, but this like rule of life where the bed is for two things. It's making love and it's going to bed.
That's right.
I used to be on my phone in my bed, mm-hmm. threw my stuff out of whack.
Yep.
TV's in the room. There's no shame in that if you have a TV in the room, but screens, laying down in bed, I don't do that anymore.
Yep.
I can't. So we don't have TVs in the room.
Yeah.
So I started putting my phone in the bathroom.
Perfect.
And that's like yeah. not just great for sleep, it's yeah. great for waking up, no snooze button too. So
that's right.
it's habit stacking, which yeah. again, it's like, this is the conversation, man. How can you go from good to great and keep going levels and
absolutely.
levels?
Absolutely. The other issue that comes up with that is the EMF coming from your phone, especially a Bluetooth, if you have Wi-Fi on your phone, that may potentially be an issue. People will argue, will say, no, it doesn't affect you. Well, I think short term it may not affect you, but if it's by your ear 8 hours a night, 7 hours yeah. while you're sleeping right there by your bedside, I think there may be some real concern. And so yeah. I love that you're putting your phone far away from your nightstand in the evening as well.
I love it.
Yeah.
So you touched on hormones. We're talking about longevity. In terms of testosterone, how should the average male think about testosterone?
Yeah. So key hormone, not just for building muscle or sex, but it's important for cognitive function, for focus, mental acuity, memory, concentration. You need testosterone. It's important for just for your mood, sense of well-being, your sense of confidence, sense of being a man. Mm-hmm. You need it for bone health. You need it for cardiovascular health. You know, most people don't realize this, but testosterone is directly associated with cardiovascular health, and men with low testosterone have about a 30% chance of developing early heart disease.
Interesting. Wow.
And so men with low testosterone have lower risk of cardiovascular disease. I'm sorry. Lower testosterone is associated with increased risk of cardiovascular disease, increased cardiovascular mortality, and all-cause mortality.
Mm.
Let me repeat that. Men with low testosterone have increased all-cause mortality.
Yeah.
That you simply die younger. So it's not just muscle and sex. It's actually about your well-being and your longevity as well.
So yeah, it's obviously a very important thing. When does one know when to get it checked, how to monitor it, and then when it's a good time to intervene or do something about it?
I think every man should get it checked, even in their 30s, because I have found men in their 20s and 30s that have ridiculously low levels and they don't even realize it. We are masters at adaptation.
Mm.
We think we're fine. We compensate. We don't realize how low it's gotten. So we have numerous studies, longitudinal 20, 30 year long studies that show us that testosterone levels worldwide are about half what they were 20, 30 years ago.
That's insane.
It's crazy.
It's nuts.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And we're not just talking about, you know, as you get older, your levels decline. We know that. You know, when you go from 30 to 70, your level is going to decline. We know that. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a 50-year-old man today has a free testosterone, which is the key bioavailable active form, free testosterone, that is around 50% less than a 50-year-old man had 20 years ago.
50% less.
And this technically is, this 40, is, 45, depending on the study, around 45% less.
Combination of all the stuff we're talking about, endocrine disruptors, environmental,
that's right.
lack of stress management, sedentary lifestyle, more the food and increased fat on your body, the whole nine. Okay, so how does one naturally boost their testosterone?
Yeah, so the things that you can do to boost testosterone, number one is strength training and not endurance, long distance endurance training, but actual strength training. So core, quad, hamstring, back, you know, big belly muscles, really important. Sleep quality is so critical that you're getting good quality sleep. Studies have shown that if you are sleep deprived, a study out of Colorado, they looked at college boys and they kept them up all night. and their testosterone level was 50% lower after just one night of no sleep.
So very sensitive.
Just like that.
To sleep.
Yeah. So good quality sleep is important. You know, stress mitigation, you know, we can't eliminate stress, but how are we responding to it? How are we managing it? And so really focusing on stress mitigation, some of the tools we talked about a few minutes ago. We know that proper nutrition is important. Micronutrients, things like zinc and magnesium and B complex vitamins are really important. Good healthy fats are important. Carbohydrates, you know, some guys, if you're doing strict keto, you know, low carb, that actually may be harmful for testosterone as well.
Interesting.
So, that's important. Sunlight is important. And actually, studies have shown sunlight on your balls has actually been shown, on the scrotum has actually been shown to be effective. So
Josh does that a lot.
There you go. Yeah. New sunbathing. Yeah. The neighbors ask questions, but hey, for a good cause. You tell us for a good cause.
That's why we put fences around the house.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No, hey, at this point too, I've done that straight up. And it's like, at this point, I'm good to experiment. Like if test levels are that low and just the average health is on that decline because of the factors, yeah. Like anything that could give you that edge or give you the boost, I think is worth experimenting with.
Definitely. So avoiding exposures as well. I'll finish with, you know, the endocrine disruptors. So we're talking like plastic water bottles, for example. So I would try to avoid ever drinking from a plastic water bottle.
I'm over here sipping this, just to pop in there real quick before you finish.
Yeah.
It's so true, because you may be thinking like me, it's a plastic bottle. Like, well, you know, we're going to go crazy with this, but these bottles, think about like where they've been. They're packaged the water. They send them on trucks and boxes, and they park it outside of the gas station for hours in the sun,
right,
where it melts some of the stuff. So that's what I think about now. And I'm definitely more inclined, of course, small tweaks, to do stainless steel, Yeti, stuff like that.
Definitely. So really try to focus on that. Filtering your water is important as well. So our water supplies, people don't know this, but our water supplies, the filtration at our municipal treatment plants is not that great. So like synthetic estrogen, like women's birth control. When women take synthetic birth control and they pee it out in the water. Wow. And our systems, our treatment plants can't clear that. And so there's actually largely detectable levels of synthetic estrogen in our water supply, as well as other chemicals as well. And so I strongly recommend that you filter your water. So any water I'm drinking has been filtered through carbon block, reverse osmosis as well, if possible. So really big deal for your water. Your food, organic matters. You know, when you look at like fruits and vegetables that are non-organic, these crops are sprayed with atrazine, which is an herbicide, glyphosate, people have heard of, all these other chemicals that are shown as endocrine disruptors to crush our health.
Yeah.
And especially testosterone. Yeah.
So we're going to attack from all sides. The goal is to proactively, you know, take ownership of our lives to fight against the system, to live our best life, to live the life we were made for. In terms of water filters, I have a Berkey. Is that good enough? No, shaking your head.
It's funny. Maybe like 8 years ago, I got a Berkey. I was all excited about it. I had it on my counter. And my wife was like, it looks like a tea urn. I'm like, yeah, I know, but it's great. It's great. It's cool. And then actually a colleague of mine did a study. He has some special tools to be able to measure the particulate and actually show that it actually doesn't work very well. And so I abandoned it. I actually have a Kinetico, and I don't have any affiliation with them, but I love them because they can install it for your entire house. And so you can—
Showers.
Yeah, well, I would really focus specifically just from a cost standpoint on the tap where you're going to be drinking from and the ice.
Okay.
And so if you're taking a shower, you know, the water's not touching for very long. It's not really as big of a concern. But if it's drinking water, you know, so the ice in the water, we do have that filtered.
So that would be the best alternative for a Berkey would be Kinetico.
Yeah, and there are other companies that make them as well. You can get an under the sink filter as well that you can apply just to a tap. You can start with that to keep it simple. Yeah.
Got it. I'll be looking at that shortly after this conversation.
One more thing I want to add to toxin exposure is personal care products.
Okay.
Especially like deodorant, because it's on your body all day, laundry detergent because you're wearing your clothes all day and you're absorbing these chemicals. Other things like soap, shampoo, sunscreen, all these products are loaded with these harmful chemicals as well. We don't realize that it's like you said, it's like a soup of endocrine disruption that we're bathing in every day.
Yeah.
So it's little baby steps, again, tiny habits. What can I do? Just a little thing each day. And so when you go shopping, there's an app on your phone. You can get, there are a couple of them out there. One is called Healthy Living by the Environmental Working Group. It's free. Yucca is another one. And then Think Dirty, there's three of them out there.
Yeah.
You go to the store, Walmart, Target, wherever you are and scan barcodes and you'll see the ingredients and it'll give you warnings of how bad they are. And you'd be shocked at things like Tide laundry detergent. It's horrible when you look at the actual harmful chemicals in it.
Yeah. That's huge. Those three apps are great. I'm familiar with the last two. Yeah. I wasn't familiar with the healthy living. But that's
awesome.
It almost makes you want to just be so primal and so in touch with nature where you just don't put anything in your butt, like on your body or, you know, and you walk around shirtless and, you know, barefoot. So that would be a great solution to kind of find the middle ground. But do you think about that? Like how much do you think about living in line with nature and health?
I do. And I look at like a spectrum. So I'm glad you bring this up. There's this natural end where I want to do everything naturally and I'm not gonna do any hormones. I'm not gonna do any supplements. I'm gonna do anything that's not purely from the ground and the earth. And then you have these very extreme biohackers, Brian Johnson, I'll call them out here. Who are doing everything synthetic and artificial and aggressive that they can, spending, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars on optimizing so they can live forever, live to 150, whatever.
Right.
And I think there's a spectrum of where's your line in the sand, right? And everyone's different. And my personal perspective doesn't necessarily matter even. It's a matter of recognizing and acknowledging every one of my clients, where are they in that spectrum? And I can respect that and I can share insight into why you maybe want to think about going a different direction. If you're too far over here, maybe you want to think about being more natural.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. But ultimately, we don't know. You know, we really don't know. Like when it comes to like longevity and what's the right answer, everyone thinks they know, but we still don't have any studies that show that we're actually extending lifespan yet. And so.
Wait, repeat that?
There's nothing that's been shown to extend lifespan.
Interesting. But quality of life,
in
sure.
Human. Quality of life, sure.
Yeah.
Reducing chronic disease, absolutely.
Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, but so when it comes, going back to your question about being natural, I'm all for being as natural as you can, but my line in the sand may be different than yours, and that's okay. It's just a matter of how, like, coming back to testosterone. I know from 30 years now of working with testosterone in men that all the lifestyle things we talked about, the strength training, the sleep, the stress, the sunlight, and
nutrition
and environmental exposure, nutrition, all these things that we're talking about for optimized testosterone. I know that for most men, if you're free testosterone, typically guys coming off the street, their free testosterone is like 4, 6, 8-ish, somewhere in that kind of, almost uniformly somewhere in that kind of ballpark.
And what's the high, what's the ceiling of that?
It should be around 20.
Okay.
Should be around 20.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at the lab ranges, they're based on you know, current flawed population numbers. So it'll say like 4 to 18 is normal range, which is absurd.
Okay.
But again, that's half of where we were 20 years ago. So that range 20 years ago was much, much higher.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why around 20 is my general target for most men. So if your free T is 6 and we do all those things I just mentioned, well, first of all, we know that guys are not going to do what they're supposed to, or we started this conversation with, why don't guys do what they know they're supposed to do, right? It's like the accountability, the consistency kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But let's say you did all those things perfectly for 6 months. No one will, but let's say you did. I get that 6 up to maybe 10, 12-ish, which is shit. That's pretty good. 100%. I've doubled my testosterone.
Yeah.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still 12.
Yeah.
And I want to be, I need to be up to 20. Yeah. And so, going back to the line in the sand kind of analogy I was making, I am a firm believer in testosterone replacement therapy because I know I can get you to 20 quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And now when you're 20, for example, when your testosterone is optimized, I'm now able to get that man much more motivated and driven and confident and like, let's freaking go. And now he's going to do all those lifestyle things that maybe before he wasn't motivated or driven to do. Now he's much more confident. He's much more alive. He feels like a man. He's like able to put in the work now and it compounds.
That's good.
And so it all kind of goes together. So that's why my line in the sand is probably a little further to the right than most people, but that's okay because I have that experience to see what that can do for you.
I'm a visual guy. And so I think about what you're doing is if we're all, you know, taking an axe to a tree as men and it's a dull, we all have dull axes. What you do is you come in and sharpen the axe to where those swings are going further with less effort.
Oh, I love that.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like you could be working really hard and going nowhere, but if you're, you know, if you have a better tool, if you give guys better tools, better frameworks, better information or treatment, you're able to have that be more successful.
That's good.
I love it. And then the spectrum, really enjoyed what you just shared there because I'm not black and white. I'm not a black and white thinker as well. I think so much of life is the spectrum. And I think both extremes, there's so many flaws on both extremes, but yet we live in a society where we're designed and programmed to go to the extremes. We see the extremes on social media or on TV or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I love that you're just, your head's on straight. You're so knowledgeable and you're in that world helping guys. You mentioned Brian Johnson and these extreme, like he calls out the extreme guys.
Yeah.
That begs the question, which Josh and I talked about earlier, like, can you be too obsessed with optimizing?
100%. Yeah. And I would even put, you know, Dave Asprey, love him as a person, been on his podcast a couple of times. We've hung out in several meetings. He's a good guy, but some of the stuff he puts out there is way too far on this extreme kind of end where, I want to be able to sleep at night knowing that what I share with my clients and what I do for myself is evidence-based and there's actual science behind it. And to do that, you have to really balance the noise with the actual science behind it and what's real or not. Mm. And so, yes, to answer your question in short, yes, I think they're going too far. And I think a lot of it is unproven and a lot of it is for shock value. A lot of it is for monetary benefit.
It's clicks, dude.
Of course,
crazy.
It's sexy. It's, oh yeah, I could take this supplement and it's all affiliate marketing. You know, everything these guys are promoting is affiliate traffic marketing. It's all has a monetary reason behind it. And so, you just gotta be careful when you're discriminating, you know, when you're listening to these guys, discriminate what's real science versus what's just sales because the two are kind of fuzzy.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Good. I like it. Now I would love, before we jump into the gut, I'd love to just park here for a sec when it comes to relational fitness. That's something that I'm going to go deep into. And really, I'm passionate. I've always been passionate about relationships, how we relate to other people, how we relate to God or the higher power, ourselves. So relational fitness is such a cool part of life because it is life. Everything's relational.
Sure.
When you think about relationships or community, how do you think about the connection between relationships and actual health?
I find that for you to really be successful, you have to be part of a team. And that team is like your spouse. It could be your team in your business or a team in the community. But you have to, you know, think of it as being part of a team. And so my wife and I were very aligned in our health goals. And I feel that it's much more impactful and powerful when we do it together. Mm-hmm. When I work with clients, we'll often work with couples together rather than just the man, because if only one half of the equation is optimizing, getting better, it creates a disconnect there and they're not going to get the same results. And it's like a rubber band where they're going to gradually get pulled back down to the other.
Right.
And so I think of being a team and being aligned in our goals. And there's always the why behind the why. You know, like, I want to burn fat and build muscle. Why? Mm-hmm. Well, I want to look better. Why? Mm-hmm. Well, I want to feel that my wife is attracted to me. Why is that important? And it comes down to typically there's a deeper underlying human, emotional, raw element that is the why behind the why.
Yeah.
And so every person has their own why, but I think that when you can get intimate with your partner and really share that why, that's where you can really create the change. So for me, for example, I'm open about this. I had a very difficult childhood. I grew up in a very toxic environment. Parents were awful. And so for me, everything is about how can I be the most amazing dad that I can be? Mm. Like everything. That's all I care about in life is how can I be the most amazing, present, and engaged father for my beautiful little princess 10-year-old daughter and my amazing golf prodigy 12-year-old son. Like they're my everything. Love my wife as well, but it's different because of my background. That's my role. So therefore, everything I do is aligned with my wife because she knows that's my goal and that feeds a higher purpose. And so it's not just about looking good with my shirt off. It's not just about a testosterone lab number. It's about the why behind the why. And so that connection helps that happen.
Yes, that is spot on, man. Again, you just speak my language so much where fitness and health, wellness is so much more than you. It's so much more than, like, my health is so much more than just me.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me feel good. Yes. It gives me energy, focus. Yes. But it's to share more with my kids, more with my wife, more with my friends, with the community, the business. Like, that's why I try to bring that into people's fitness and health and have that connection. Because when you're fueled by impact and purpose and love, that's the secret sauce, baby. Like that is unlimited motivation. Yeah. That's a source of motivation. Yep. What about brotherhood specifically with men? So you talked about your wife and spousal relations in general, and even kids.
Yeah.
But man to man, you know, I think about just how much that can play a role in men's longevity. Because even with what you said, even with the quality of life improving from these things like training and optimized nutrition and hormonal health and gut health, all these things, relationships where you feel seen as a man, known as a man, sharpened as a man, that plays a huge role in longevity, quality of life. So how do you think about that?
Yeah. I think that there's a real powerful driving force with that connection. And I'm part of a couple of men's groups, and I'm also very close with many of my clients on a very raw level. And I feel that the key there is vulnerability. And men are in general, we're taught to be these tough, strong, resilient, having no feelings kind of, you know, figure.
Yeah, stoic.
Yeah, stoic, but we're humans, and that we have emotions, and we have needs, and we have valid feelings that we don't ever feel we can share. Mm-hmm. And so I share a lot of it with my wife, but talking with men is a very different level, and the different level of understanding where guys, you know, especially guys who are high performers, men who are either running a business, they're an athlete, they're an executive founder, CEO, entrepreneur, where they're expected to be perfect at every time, every day, all day. Perfect's the only thing that's allowed.
Yeah. Standard. Yeah.
And when you can step away from that and start to really just be real and authentic and share your challenges, your pain, your inner feelings, I guess. And I know that sounds kind of cheesy, but I think there's real value to that. And I think that men appreciate that. And I have several clients where I have had those deeper conversations, and it creates a bond that I believe is everlasting.
Yeah. I would agree wholeheartedly with you on that. And I had a, there's this book I'm reading, I think it's The Game of Life and How to Play It, which, by the way, like you won the title of the book game. You know, yours is pretty great too. Cracking the Code to Limitless Health and Vitality, The Male 2.0. But so both of those are winners. In the book, this woman says that the only disease for humans is congestion. And the only solution or cure is circulation. And so, you know, it's limited in its application for sure. But what I heard from you is when we suppress, when we don't share or let things flow out, like when there's unshared emotion or feelings, especially as men, we're almost taught to kind of suppress that. It leads to congestion. It leads to stagnation or implosion. I mean, how much of burnout is really like us imploding from the inside out?
Yeah.
So being able to share
and
stay connected to a brotherhood and a group of men, I think is very powerful to your point. Now, gut health. When you think about gut health, what are some really positive, powerful actions that the typical person can take to not even knowing his numbers, but to improve his gut health?
Yeah, sure. And gut health, to clarify for the listener, it doesn't mean cramping, belly pain. It doesn't mean like abnormal bowel habits. It doesn't mean anything like that. It doesn't mean like polyps on a colonoscopy. It simply means imbalance in the microbes, the bacteria that populate our gut.
Okay.
And our gut, called the microbiome, remarkably controls our entire body. It drives. There's exponentially more DNA, genetic material, in our microbes in our gut than there is in our whole body by far.
Yeah.
And it drives our neurotransmitters in our brain. So it controls cognitive function and focus and mental acuity, et cetera. It controls our hormone production. It controls immune system. It controls metabolism. Energy systems are all directly driven by the gut. And a lot of men and women both don't realize they have gut issues because it's a subtle thing. And so I often will find major issues in the gut when someone feels no problems whatsoever. Maybe, I'm a little tired. Yeah, I don't sleep well. Yeah, I have some aches and pains. Or, later in the day, I'm tired, can't think clearly. And there could be some major gut issues. And so I always recommend everyone get tested to find out where they are. And I know, I think you're going through some of this. So it's going to be cool for you to see.
I can't wait. It's having that baseline is huge.
It'll be eye opening.
Yeah.
But in general, things that you can do to answer your question now, number one, fiber. So fiber is massive for feeding the gut. So the healthy bacteria, they need fiber to function properly. So getting enough fiber in your diet, it can be natural from fresh fruits and vegetables. It can be supplemental fiber if you need as well, but, definitely want to get good fiber. Focus on eating organic fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
The toxins that are sprayed on our crops definitely affects the microbiome. Alcohol crushes the microbiome, and high sugar diet can affect it as well. So really focus on limiting it. It's eating clean, like we always talk about, but knowing that it actually affects the microbiome, which is causing a lot of downstream consequences like inflammation and brain fog and hormone disruption, et cetera.
How do you view alcohol and health? What's your approach personally?
I hate alcohol now.
Do you?
I'll tell you what, I used to drink socially back in the day, never heavily, but I would drink socially. And what I would find was that the next day I felt like crap. I'd have one glass of wine, two glasses of wine, not much, but I still recognize how my brain didn't function the same. My energy wasn't the same. My workouts weren't the same from having alcohol. And so I'm not here to be a jerk and tell guys you can't ever have a drink. Like, if you want to have a drink, that's okay. But number one, moderation. Like guys who say they have like a couple glasses a day, every night kind of thing, that's a real problem.
Sure.
In terms of a lot of health consequences. But I find that in general, it's when you recognize how it affects you, it makes you not even want it anymore. You realize maybe I don't even need it. And it's a social thing.
Hmm.
And so what I will do now is if I ever do have a drink and if I'm at a special event or, a wedding or some situation where, I'm going to have a drink, which is maybe once a month at the most now, I'll get a vodka soda, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then my next drink two through five, is just a club soda.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a hack to where it still feels the same. It looks the same. It almost tastes the same. You can't even tell.
For real.
But it's just club soda. And so it's a great hack for guys who can't have just one, that five drinks later, they go, crap, what did I do?
Yeah.
But what I love to do for men is to use wearable data, track data to see how the alcohol affects you.
Yeah.
And then you decide if you want to keep drinking or not based on the data.
Right.
And so I love tracking like a heart rate variability or HRV. And you'll see your HRV, let's say it's 52, 54, 55, 53, 51, 30.
Uh-huh.
What did you do? I had a couple glasses of wine with my wife. So you'll see that plummet in HRV. And now you realize like how it's affecting your body. Or you'll see your deep sleep numbers. Maybe your deep sleep is like 50 minutes, hour and 2 minutes. 12 minutes, what happened?
Yeah.
I drink alcohol.
Yeah.
So when you see the data, it doesn't lie and it starts to make you think differently.
That's good. How do you see the connection between the mind and the body? You talk a lot about the mindset in this book, which is why I love, again, I'm just such a big fan
of
how you approach stuff, because it's not just, there's this element of the mind, like how you think about things, how you associate what happens in your life. That is such a huge difference because the same thing can happen. It's the same. Two different people, but there's wild difference in how they respond because of their mindset. So how do you think about the mind and the body and the body and the mind connection?
I love it. I think it goes both ways. And there's two perspectives. And I think it's probably somewhere in the middle, if not both. The perspective that I've really adopted is, your mindset comes first. And when you have the proper motivation and the why behind the why and clear limiting beliefs and, it create life with intention and all these kind of key points. Now you're in the right mindset. We're like, okay, now let's go. Let's do what I got to do. A lot of guys, why don't you work out? Why don't you do what you're supposed to work out? You know, you're supposed to strength training. You're supposed to do all these things. Why don't you do it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm too busy in my business, my career, my practice, whatever I'm doing. And so I believe the mindset is a powerful tool to get you to get off your ass and move and do the stuff that you're supposed to do. And I think that there's a real dynamic there when you have a positive mindset as well. When you're in the right state, your body's going to respond better as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think there's a clear association there. Then there's the other side, which is like the Tony Robbins side, which I love.
I love that too.
Oh my God, I love his work. You know where I'm going here.
Oh man.
And that is, it starts with moving. Yeah. And when you move, it creates a change in your state. It changes your mind and your emotions and your energy. And now you're like, let's freaking go. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's probably both. I think it's probably a circuitous loop. It feeds upon itself. Movement creates the perfect peak state, which creates the energy and the momentum to where now you're moving more, and it becomes this amazing evolution of just how can I be 1% better?
Yeah.
And so it all kind of connects together in my mind.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's why it's so important to be in where your trajectory is positive, and regardless of your results, if your trajectory is positive, your results get better.
Yep.
And if you find a way to get into that positive feedback loop and cycle, you'll be doing things to help you feel better, which make you more inclined to do things to help you feel better, healthier. And it's a snowball effect, which is why if I ever find myself in that negative side or trajectories in the red, what is the lowest, what's the easiest way to raise baseline? How can I get 1% better? How can I not try to shift everything and just change my entire life?
Yep.
But how can I get 1% better?
That's right.
Which is what you preach.
Yep.
When you think about quality of life, how much is involved with, like, because I'm a spiritual guy. Like, I think there's so much more to life than just the tangible, physical, material world.
Yeah.
How do you think about spirituality or purpose beyond yourself as it relates to health?
I think that's the driving force. I think your deeper purpose is what drives everything. And I think having that clarity helps you, again, live with intention. And I think going back to when I was a surgeon, when I was just going through the motion, I was a hamster on the wheel. Mm-hmm. I had no purpose. I had no drive. I had no intention other than just getting through the freaking day.
You were kind of like sleepwalking through life.
Yeah. I was just checking boxes, and I was working my ass off.
Yeah.
And I was doing it, you know, for the sake of my patient who was right in front of me. And yes, that's a noble purpose. I'm not diminishing that, the value that I was providing to that one person. But I know I'm meant for so much more. I know that I'm meant for a higher purpose. I'm meant to really transform the lives of millions through my approach, and now through sharing it through other doctors, and so that I can really transform healthcare and all the lives that I'm going to affect and the kids who are going to be affected by that. When I can change a man's emotional state, his peak state, what's it going to do to his kid's life as well? Mm. And so I feel like it's going to have a trickle-down effect. And to me, that's what's really, gets me fired up.
Exciting, powerful.
Yeah.
100%. When you start seeing life through those lens, you know, what could happen, the ripple effects, you know, the deeper purpose behind it.
That's right.
It supercharges every moment of the day. I'm a big believer in that. And that's why when you said that, it's your highest and best use of what you've been given. Mm-hmm. The way your brain works, the way your story, you know, your God-given strengths, you're using that in the highest and best way, because you're trying to find ways to equip other doctors to then help more people. You, Dr. Tracy, yourself, can only affect directly a certain amount of people, just like myself and anyone else. But you're playing like that higher level where you're going to equip leaders to then help these men and women and families and communities break through. So that's amazing, which is why, I mean, we've talked about the summit. I'd love to have you come to the summit and speak events.
Oh, yeah.
I think so much of my passion is the same thing. I want to equip men and women, but equip people to be better leaders, to be more spiritually connected, more relationally fit, more physically strong and full of vitality, to change their world. Mm. And when they change their world, the world at large gets transformed for better. Because we can't change the world, but we can change our world.
That's right.
Which then changes the world. So the purpose and the way to go about that is amazing, which is why, as I continue yapping but close, it's so important to see the big picture in things, you know, to see the purpose, the end in mind.
That's right.
Because it has the effect of infusing that conversation with a random person or your client or whoever it is with urgency, with conviction and purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I found it so important, the real authenticity behind it. And I think that there's so much noise in the, especially in the health and wellness and this longevity air quotes space that we're in now, where there's influencers who are purely focused on, again, affiliate traffic, sales, and building their platform. Whereas I try to always come at it from, this is my real purpose. This is in my heart, what I want to accomplish and the impact I want to leave behind. And how can I accomplish that? And I think as long as you do that, as long as you stay true to that, then everything's going to work out like it should.
I love it.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the action plan to transform a man's life in 90 days and what that roadmap looks like in your own words condensed. But before that, like, how do you think about success? How would you define success in this season of life for yourself?
Wow. I love that question. Wow. Success is living your true life. Focus on your true impact, on your purpose, and feeling grateful for what you have, and not needing more. You could always want more, but you and wanting is okay. I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting more, but do you really need more? And I would say, I don't need more. I have wants, yes, but I don't need more. Mm. And I feel that, you know, that's a great question. For so long, I felt like when I achieve success, I'm going to.
Yeah, I'll finally be.
Yeah. Like it was like I'm now running this a program now to train other doctors how to do what I've done, how to follow my footsteps and guide them, you know, because I realize I need a mass, a community. Yeah. I always thought in my mind, well, I'll do that when I'm successful. And I had this very ethereal, very spiritual awakening, if you will, earlier this year where it hit me like, I am freaking successful. What am I waiting for? When am I going to finally claim victory? I don't need anything else. Yes, I have. There are things that I want, of course, and I'll get. I know I'll have those eventually. But I have an amazing, beautiful family, a wife and two kids I love. I'm following my passion, my career. That's freaking success. Mm. And so I'm like, let's go. And so I launched it, and sure enough, doctors are lining up now, and it's becoming this thing now that my heart's lined up with. And so I think that's what success is. Yeah.
You're a walking success just based on that.
Appreciate it.
And thank hearing you and connecting with you.
Yeah.
That moment you said you kind of had that awakening or that realization, what did that look like? I mean, how did that click where you finally stopped waiting to be successful and finally realized you already were?
So I'm in Strategic Coach, which is an amazing program. Dan Sullivan created it years ago, and it's a program where you go to a quarterly meeting either in Toronto, Chicago, or LA. And I was coming back from Chicago. And early flight home after, and Coach always kind of gets you driven, motivated. You're like fired up when you leave it.
He's the one who co-wrote the book with
Ben Hardy. Exactly. Yes. Okay. That's right. And when I'm in the air, I hit this flow state every time. Every flight, I'm in this flow state where my mind's going. And it was after a Coach meeting. I think it was in January. I'm flying home early morning. It's like 6:30 in the morning. And it was just this epiphany. Where I don't even know how it happened, but I know every time I'm in the air, I'm in this flow state, my mind's going and things are happening, and I'm thinking about my life or about the business, about the impact I want to have, and I started diving deeper into why have I not done this thing that I keep kind of thinking about, and it was just that moment. It's weird how that happens, yeah.
And it just clicked for you, the idea of not waiting or living in fear, but finally like owning and realizing that you're already successful.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it's the same limiting beliefs that kept me in my medical practice. You know, for years after I had that moment, I was still like, God, I love this stuff. I love this optimization and being healthy and being proactive, but I'm still a surgeon. I can't leave that. And all the limiting beliefs held me back for years.
Yeah.
It took me 10 years before I finally jumped off that figurative cliff.
Mm.
And so come full circle now, it's the same thing again where, oh my God, the fears, oh, I can't do that. I can't now leave my Gap Institute, my clinic, my practice to now work with doctors because am I successful enough? Yeah, but, you know, all the limiting beliefs again that I'm having to overcome and create the empowering beliefs to, you know, as objections to every one of those limiting beliefs, all that mindset work I had to do all over again. And I think that's part of the journey.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's fear.
Yeah.
Coming back full circle to what you're saying, it's fear that holds us back and the fear of all those reasons why you tell yourself you can't. Yeah.
Limiting beliefs. How does one go about just demolishing those? Because those truly are the things that hold us back. I mean, we are the only ones in our own way.
Yeah. So limiting beliefs are, that they are simply false constructs. They're lies in our mind that have been created, that have been seeded and implanted there for years because life tries to tell you you can't.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way Tony Robbins, I'll go back to his training with this. Limiting belief. Let's say my limiting belief is I'm not smart enough. I don't know enough. I couldn't possibly do that. I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
The way to come about it is it possible that you actually do know enough? And what are the examples that might support that?
Hmm.
You have to come at it from the other angle and ask yourself, what are the examples that tell me the exact opposite?
Yeah. And then you're looking for the good in that moment.
You're looking for the good. You're finding the good. Mm-hmm. Just tell me what might be, if that were the case, and now you're starting to plant the seed that maybe that belief was false.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can start to find more reasons to support those examples. And now suddenly you have planted the seed of doubt of the lie, and that's how you can start to overcome it. It's not like an overnight thing. It's not like you can just say it and then it's gone.
Yeah.
But you have to really present yourself the reasons, work through why it's a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You cut you off.
Yeah.
Tony Robbins, you brought him up multiple times. I'm a huge fan of his and him and his work.
Yeah.
I think he's doing, God's work on earth, just freeing the human from the shackles within, right. Sounds pretty mysterious, right. But like he really does help people get out of their own way.
Yeah.
So yeah, what does Tony Robbins help you understand more?
Yeah. So he does is a mantra where, it's the incantations he calls it, where you have a phrase, and it's a private phrase that you say to yourself that you can use as a force, as a motivating driving force, a positive force to keep you going and on track. And so it's a lot of the, training your mind to get past those limitations that are holding you back. And it's about creating momentum, and you just have to freaking go, and you can't, perseverate. You can't procrastinate. You just have to freaking go. And the winners are the ones who just go. Mm-hmm. And I learned this not through Tony, but from other trainings I've gone through, is the key is creating momentum through imperfect action.
Mm.
So coming back full circle, yes, why don't men do what they need to do? Why don't they move forward? What holds them back? And it's perfection.
Mm.
It's the fear, limiting beliefs, the fear that I'm not good enough. And until it's perfect, I'm not going to put it out there.
Wow.
Right? So I'm not going to launch them a podcast. I'm not going to start this new business. I'm not going to write a book because until it's perfect, I can't put it out to the world because the fear of, oh my God, people are going to call me out and it's not going to be perfect. You have to be okay with imperfect action. And for so long, I struggled with that, where that was the reason why I did not move forward with, leaving traditional urology and launching Gap Institute in my new life is the fear of, could I do it? And not until it's perfect will I leave.
Yeah.
And you just have to go. So imperfect action.
Imperfect action. Take imperfect action.
Hell
that,
yeah.
That should be a mantra. That will be a mantra for me because that, 100%. I talk about it from time to time on the podcast and in the real world with people is paralysis by analysis.
Yep.
Choosing between 16 different options, fearing that if you pick the wrong one, like you're somehow gonna fail or whatever, it is a huge limiting belief. And I like to think about it from like on a deep level where I believe we're all here for a reason. Like there's no mistakes. Like you and I are connecting for a reason, for this deeper purpose. We're planting seeds in each other's brains for years to come. We'll realize something maybe years from now from this conversation. But the truth like that's underneath there is that we're all unique expressions of God. Like we're all created on purpose for a purpose. And so for you to live in fear and not express what you've been given uniquely to you is doing the world around you a disservice.
That's right.
You have a unique DNA that's never been and never will be.
It's powerful.
But right now, right here and forever, but like that's unique to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage people to find that peace within themselves that's already enough, right? And then to just move forward, express, go put yourself out there, take the risk, because that's when we feel fully alive.
That's right.
Yeah. Like jump in, you know, taking the risk, doing the action imperfectly.
Yeah.
So
what you I've said. Heard it another way even Tell to me. Take it one step further. Please. And that is that you have this gift, this knowledge, this wisdom that can transform someone else's life. And for you to not put it out there as soon as you can, you're being selfish. Mm. You're actually being selfish. You're holding back someone who needs that information and you're not sharing it with them and you're being selfish. It changes the whole perspective. Like, shit, I have to do it now. I have to put it out there. Like,
got to.
I don't care. Perfect right. I just got to go because I can help somebody with this. That's being raw and real and authentic and just freaking put it out. And so I'm starting to be much better about that of just not trying to be perfect.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Just go. Yeah.
That's fire, Doc. I have a guy named Gavin. He helps me with copywriting and different things. But I've had this thing for years where I just don't like being salesy. And I'm on social media a lot. And part of that comes with, hey, I have a coaching program. Sure. I have this business. I have events. I have, and I don't like being salesy. And so there's layers to that. Cause my wife's like, well, why don't you like being salesy? It's like, well, I don't want people to like, but why is this? But I don't want to be rejected. Like, I want people to like me. Right. There's layers to that.
Yeah.
But what Gavin said that I really appreciate, Gav, is he's like, dude, if you're putting out such quality resources, coaching, knowledge, information, for you not to promote that is doing the world a disservice.
That's right. That's
you
right.
You have a responsibility as a man.
That's right.
As a person.
That's right.
If you are putting good things out in the world that transform lives for the better, families, communities, the world, you have a responsibility to share that.
That's
so
right.
Screw the whole freaking, I'm too salesy, you know, I need to get that out of my head continually. And you're doing that amazingly too, which is what you're sharing. Like, you're getting out of that.
Yeah.
I already see it. It's amazing. Yeah.
The other way to look at it, I love that. I totally agree. It's like fuel. Money is fuel. And the more money that you can make enables you to have an even bigger impact and reach more people and help more people. And so I look at it that way, that is really fuel to help continue to propel your movement and your, you know, message and mission that you have.
That's good. Financials. Money is fuel. I love that.
Yeah.
I always thought money too is energy as well.
Yeah.
It's an energy exchange.
That's right.
This is why, you know, certain parts of my businesses, I remember going up in my retainer. I'd be like, hey, you want to work with me one-on-one? That used to be $2,000 less, but now I'm going to charge this. And there's that element of like, am I worth that?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
The answer is you're worth whatever someone's willing to give you.
That's right.
To fix their problems, to connect with them on a level.
That's right.
To empower them forward. And so that's really important for us to remember, because I think a lot of times I go back to my self-worth, like, am I worthy of that? It's like, you are.
Right.
You are, especially if you're helping people with real problems solve for real solutions.
Yeah.
You should charge more. And that's the energy exchange. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a lot of limiting beliefs that I'm still working through with finances.
Yep.
I'm not sure if you have, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're able to help a man feel fulfilled, feel complete, have confidence again, and have intimacy with his wife now, and be able to go out there and be a leader because he is a new man that you've helped him train. What's that worth? How do you put a price on that, right? So it's not just a training session or two or 10. It's a transformation. How much is that worth to you, Mr. Jones?
Yeah.
That's exact right perspective.
Yeah.
So amazing. As we kind of come to a conclusion, as I wanted to maybe get practical and tactical with you.
Sure.
Like, if you had 90 days, someone's listening, they're like, I really resonate with Dr. Tracy, Brian, what they're saying.
Yep.
It's I need to make this change.
Yep.
First off, both of us have resources out there.
Yep.
So they'll get plugged into that for sure. But what's the roadmap look like from a 90-day standpoint?
Sure. So I always say, you know, find your blind spots first. Find your blind spots means, what are the issues holding you back you don't even realize are there? Under the surface, you think you're great, you're compensating, you're a master of adaptation, you don't even realize how far you've fallen. And so blind spots first, that means testing. I like to do blood testing, some gut health testing, and a few other tests to really find out where you are, get a baseline. And then I like to put together a basic plan. And that's mostly lifestyle driven. I'll tell you, it's mostly based on the testing, based on what we're hearing and seeing. What are the right foods you should be eating? How much you should be eating, when you should be eating, putting together a fitness program that works for you and your lifestyle and your, you know, where you are, your functional status and injury status, et cetera, but getting you moving, getting you sleeping, fixing hormones, fixing micronutrient levels, reducing inflammation, working on clearing toxins. That's really the key foundation where we start. It's a cake analogy I like to use. You're baking this cake. All these ingredients of the cake are so important. It's the nutrition, it's the fitness, it's the sleep, the stress, the gut health, the blood sugar control, micronutrients, toxins, I can go on and on. Those are all the ingredients. And when you put all those ingredients together, you've now baked this nice golden brown cake.
Yeah.
And what do you do then?
Organic cake, right?
Organic, of course. That's right. Organic, sugar-free, with no seed oils. And,
with a non-alcoholic beer. No.
So now you put the frosting on the cake, obviously, right? I look at it, the frosting is like all the sexy stuff that you hear about online, IG, people are promoting, like peptide. I love peptides. They're amazing, but they are the icing. And until you have the foundation, until you bake that cake, you can't get the frosting. The sauna, the cold plunge, the red light, the PEMF, the hyperbarics, the plasmapheresis, the PRP, the stem cells, the exosomes, you know, I can go on and on. All these other ancillary treatments, they're great. I love them all. I'm not going to bash any of them, but there's context and nuance, and they're the frosting. And so those first 90 days is mostly that baking the cake. Mm-hmm. You maybe layer in a little bit of frosting when you're ready, but it's the fundamentals that's going to get you there quicker and faster. I've had so many guys come in and they're like, yeah, I tried these three or four peptides and they don't work at all. They suck because, well, but yeah, your gut's a mess, or your testosterone is too, or you're not sleeping, and you can't expect to get there without the fundamentals first. And so that's what I focus on. And then I'm big on tracking. How do you know what you're doing is working? And so we track sleep, and we track blood sugar, and we track stress through HRV, and we track body comp. Mm. So you can measure and see that what you're doing is actually working. And if it's not, make quick pivots and be able to adapt and fine tune and tweak the program as you go.
Mm. I love it. Yeah. I've always thought too. I haven't always thought. I always catch myself. I came out the womb knowing this, but I've really thought for years how important the foundational level of your life is.
Yeah.
Because it just makes sense. You have someone who's got broke financial habits and mindset. Mm-hmm. When that person goes to the gas station, picks up a lottery ticket, and wins, becomes a multimillionaire overnight. What are the chances that that person goes broke within the next 5 years?
Very likely.
Pretty high.
That's right.
So if we don't fix the foundational level of the mindset, the approach, that's financial literacy, you're not going to longevity. You're not going to have that for the long term.
That's right.
So I love the approach that you're talking about. It's about the testing baseline. It's the testing and the baseline. Then it's the functional lifestyle habits, actions, lack of habits and actions. Yep. And then you get kind of the sexier stuff that's really promoted as the solution always when you have to really work from the ground up.
That's right.
Last thing touching on, the 90-day roadmap that you said, I think one of the things that we haven't touched on as much, one of the things that comes up which prevents people from staying the course and from living this life that they want to, is when stress comes in.
Yeah.
When stress comes in, outside forces, let's say. So how do you think about managing stress and becoming what I would say like stress proof?
Yeah.
How would you do that?
Balance. Key word here is balance. So example, what I have done for a long time is I'm coming home from work, and it used to be when I was coming home from the hospital for years, but now it's when I come home from Gap Institute. I will pull over in a parking lot. I'm in my car still. And I'm on the way home, and I know when I walk in that door what's going to happen. The kids are going to be all over me. My wife's going to be, here you go, and help with dinner and mess and chaos and more stress, right? Yeah. It's in a good way, but it's still stress. And so I'll actually pull over in a parking lot, and I'll do 5 minutes of meditation.
Mm.
Headspace if you need it, guided app on your phone. But just that time to reframe and clear my mind and breathe, you know, breathing exercises is so powerful during that time to just reset and reframe. And so I think creating that separation, that balance in your life is important. Number two, most guys don't ever do what they love to do. Like why? Like for example, like I love tennis. I love to play tennis. It's a great active sport. Actually, studies show that any kind of racket sport, you live longer too. So it's great.
Interesting.
For that reason.
Wow.
But I just love playing tennis. And I found for years I didn't do it. I don't have time. I'll play when I have time. Well, yeah. What do you mean you don't have time?
Yeah.
You have time for what you schedule. And so you have big rocks in your life that you schedule, and everything else has to fit in around that. You know, the analogy of the glass jar with the big rocks and then the little ones and so on. Yeah. So you got to start with what's important first. And of course, it's family. It's your biggest priorities. It's your, you know, spirituality or community, you know, the fundamentals of health. Yeah. But when it comes to your schedule, it's what are the big rocks first, and then everything else has to fall in around that. If I have a 2-hour block for tennis scheduled, it's nothing else can, it's already on my calendar. Of course I have time, yeah, because it's there.
Yeah.
And so it's being intentional. Short story here is being intentional about your schedule and creating balance in your life. And so I love strategic coach helps with this concept of focus day, free day, and buffer day.
Mm, tell me about that.
Focus day is you're purely focused on the key revenue generating activities of your business, or you're working on your farm club, which is who are the, you know, the connections and networking and people to help grow and build a business, for example. So focus is you're just focused on those activities. The free day is you're not allowed to work. You're not allowed to look at your email. You're not allowed to do any work whatsoever. It's purely non-work time. Wow. Now it could be your power washing your deck at home, or you're on vacation with your family, or you're, it's a, you know, my wife and I taking a day to ourselves, but it's a free day, meaning that you are not working. That creates real balance in your life. Suddenly, mm-hmm, when I have, like, I've had now days, we call them gold days, gold medal day, free days, where my wife and I will have one day just to ourselves. We booked a room at the Ritz and we're gone. No one can find us. Work can't find me. The kids can't. We have grandma taking care of the kids, and we're gone. It's just us. And by doing that, I've now scheduled. Again, big rocks. I've been intentional about my schedule so that I'm creating the balance. So long story coming back to your answer, it's having focus days where you can focus on work, mm-hmm, free days where you're not allowed to focus on work. You can only play and have fun and be with your family and do whatever you like to enjoy doing. And then other days are buffer days. Buffer days are you're responding to emails and doing all the nonsense, the kind of administrative stuff you may have to do, or the non-revenue generating parts of work, getting a haircut, you know, that kind of shopping, whatever stuff you have to do. Those are the buffer days. And so creating that real clear structure in your life helps you create that balance. And the goal is that you have more free days than focus days.
Mm. Mm.
And you,
over
and
time.
You focus on over time growing the number, yeah, of free days in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's how you get rid of stress, is by having that balance that you've intentionally created.
Yeah. I love it, because stress comes regardless, but just like a workout, I think about that. Like this example, when you work out in the morning, when I work out in the morning and I lift weights for 45 minutes, I am going to face the same stress of that morning, of that afternoon, but in a much better way.
That's right.
So if you can take care of your body and your mind, get that time of silence, yep, meditation, prayer, yep, whatever it is, breathing, you can take a better approach,
yes,
to the stress.
That's right.
You can't avoid stress. In fact, running from stress is actually a huge stressor.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's right,
running from something.
That's right.
Yep. But when you can get into a better approach,
yeah,
and really proactively confront the things, yep, that you need to,
yep,
is so important. So becoming stress-proof, living a life full of vitality and maximizing your impact in life. This is what you're about.
I love that. I'll add one more thing. You, yeah, you brought up a great point that I used to work out mid-afternoon, mm-hmm, or even like 4 o'clock was kind of like, and I found that when I work out early, first thing in the morning, such a different state the whole day. And so I love, awesome, to have the workout in the morning. Just mentally, I'm much more grounded and focused and clear and calm, maybe is the word. And so I love my workouts in the morning now rather than in the afternoon like I used to.
Love that. Yeah, that's, yeah, that's huge. I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Experiment whatever feels best for you.
That's right.
I'm the same way. Yeah. Movement or lifting in the morning is absolutely essential. And then, like you said, you just take a better you to everything else.
That's right.
So Dr. Tracy, the man, I'm excited to just grow with you, man. You're doing amazing things.
Appreciate you.
You can follow Dr. Tracy, Gappin Institute, the book Male 2.0. This is phenomenal. I'm halfway through, I'd say, close to halfway through. I got underlines. I got the, you know, the page, whatever the ear things are. I'm doing that, but amazing stuff that he's doing in the world. I'm definitely going to share my journey with you and kind of how we're going to optimize my life. So I'm excited to share that. But I'll leave all the links in the description. Thanks again, man.
Thanks, man.
That was great.